Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Wednesday, October 4th, 2017, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Clippers preseason so far and then continue breaking down player previews. So the Clippers played two preseason games this week in Hawaii. They played on Sunday night, and then they played again last night, Tuesday night, technically Wednesday morning since it didn't start until 1 a.m., So full disclosure, I'm not going to talk too much about the particulars of these games because these games are just exhibitions. You know, they don't matter too much. I do think there are some valuable things that we can take away from them, but I didn't see very much of last night's game. Like I said, it didn't start until 1 a.m. here in New York, and that's crazy to stay up until 4 a.m. for a preseason game. So I saw some of the highlights. I've seen some of the reaction, but I think that the big takeaway that I'm excited about it's just that it seems like, yeah, they're still working out, you know, some kinks, but the main guys seem to be playing well together. Like, it seems like there's just kind of a natural flow and style to how Beverly, Tadosic, Gallinari, Griffin, Jordan fit together. And I'm not totally sold on the idea of Tadosic starting over Austin Rivers, but I do think that, you know, that they're both going to be a big part. And I think that Tadosic might fit a little better with the offensive identity of that group than Austin Rivers does. But I'll talk a little bit about that. So the main reason for Austin to be the starter and why Austin was the starter only in the first preseason game and why I think he'll continue to be the starter is that the Clippers are they're a team where the primary weakness, I think, is going to be with perimeter defense, especially on the wing. I mean, Patrick Beverley obviously is a tremendous, tremendous defender at the guard position, but on the wing, I think is going to be where they're going to be really weak. Gallinari is not a specifically strong wing defender, and they just don't have, you know, they're used to having a Luke and Bamute there, and a lot of teams in the NBA, a lot of successful teams, have either one or two really reliable defenders at the shooting guard small forward positions. Now, Tadosic is a guy who came off of the bench even in Europe last year. He came off of the bench in Europe because of conditioning and because of his defensive limitations. So you put a guy like that in the starting lineup now in an 82-game NBA season where he's getting tougher defensive assignments, playing longer games, playing more minutes, traveling more, and it just seems like you're putting yourself in a bad position. Like, it might be a little better for Milos to play 24 minutes a night off the bench than if you tried to throw him into a 32-minute a night role. You could wear him down really easily. And if you start him, you're exposing him to all of these defensive matchups against star scorers from other teams. I think another thing to consider is that there's already a lot of offensive creation in that first unit. And I know that it's exciting to see Milos out there throwing lobs, running the pick and roll. I love how he runs the pick and roll. I just love watching him come around a screen and see the whole floor and find creative ways to get the ball to open guys. He's a tremendous, tremendous player. But the Clippers already have some capable offensive players in that first unit. When you get, you know, just at the forward positions, they've got Danilo Gallinari and Blake Griffin, who are two of the NBA's premier scorers. You go to the second unit, and all of a sudden the backup forwards are some combination of, like, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Wesley Johnson, Bryce Johnson. None of those guys are really going to create for themselves, and so that might be a situation where you need Milos a little more with the second unit, because if you think about it, you'd much rather have Austin Rivers in a situation where he only has to really worry about himself or making the right play here or there, and then Blake Griffin and Danilo Gallinari are doing a lot of the creating, as opposed to on the second unit, whoever's in that position is going to have to do all of the creating for the whole lineup. Basically, whichever guard gets held out plus Lou Williams, those guys are going to do all of the creation. So that might be something where, again, it's a little helpful to keep Milos with the second unit. And we saw even in that first game on Sunday, Doc brought Milos in pretty early for Austin. Austin didn't have his best game, so maybe if Austin had been playing better, it would have been a little different. But I just think that who starts isn't necessarily going to be super important. I think that the minute split is going to be pretty even with those two guys. I think they both bring different things. I think just defensively is the main concern right now for me and why I would like to keep Milos on the bench for now. It's just the defense and the conditioning. Although, to be fair, I think it just, you know, warrants mentioning that Austin Rivers, while he's an okay defender, is not a particularly strong defender, especially against starting caliber players. And he doesn't provide you with much of a solution against big wings. You know, at 6'5", he's not an ideal matchup for, you know, a 6'7", 6'8", scoring small forward in the way that Luke Mbamute was. So there's definitely some limitations there, and Austin doesn't solve the problem altogether. But I do think it makes sense right now for him to be the starter. And I think ultimately we're going to be seeing a lot of guys get a lot of opportunities, so it's not going to be super problematic about, you know, who's starting and who's playing more minutes. I think that they're both going to get good opportunities. I'm really excited for Milos. I mean, I've been excited since Clippers announced they were signing him when we saw all of those passing highlight packages. But, you know, I mean, last night, even in the game where everyone is so excited, he had 5 assists and 3 turnovers. So it's not like it was some tremendous overall performance, even though he had a few really amazing passes. So it'll be interesting to see, as he sort of gets his legs more underneath him in the NBA, how that unit can mesh and he can help make everyone else around him better. What I think is really, really good to see is just that the team is exciting. They're playing exciting basketball. We're seeing a lot of highlights. We're seeing them share the ball. Someone even said in the first preseason game, the Clippers are passing too much. They're overpassing. I said, keep overpassing. Pass the ball, move the ball. It's fun. It's exciting. It's good basketball to watch. So I'm just really excited that we're seeing that so early on, because obviously this team with so many changes is going to need a little bit of time to mesh before they reach, you know, their true form. So it's good that they're already at this point right now, because that means that things are only going to get better, hopefully, as the season goes on. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy, with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONBA today. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Moving into player previews, I want to talk a little bit about Austin Rivers first, because he's the guy who I think maybe has the most to prove this season of anyone on the team. And this kind of segues from talking about him versus Teodosic for the starting spot in the earlier segment. Austin has an opportunity this year to earn a starting job. And in doing so, if he is in the starting lineup regularly, he will either prove to people around the league that he is a capable starting guard or that he isn't. He either is or he isn't. And we don't know right now. A lot of people might think that he is capable of being a capable starting guard, but we haven't seen him do it yet over the course of a season. And with his player option coming up this summer and then free agency, no matter what, coming next summer after that, he could potentially make a lot of money if he comes out and has a really good season this year as a starting shooting guard and shows that he can be a quality starter. Right now, he is who he is. He's a guy who can start, but isn't necessarily a starter, or maybe I think with the Clippers this year it might be a situation where he's kind of a weak starter, but they play as with like this ensemble cast at the guard position, so it sort of works. But you slot him on a normal team where you'd say like, okay, now you're like the starter. This is your position. Your backup is going to play 12 minutes a night. That's a little bit different than putting him in a situation where he's with Milos and Lou Williams and they're all kind of sharing time, but he's the one who gets his name called at the beginning of the game. So it'll be really interesting to see how that pans out. He's a guy who, if he has a bad year, it could really sort of stunt him. And it might not be the worst thing for the Clippers, actually, because if he has a really good year, he's going to opt out of his contract and get a big payday next summer, and the Clippers will be in a tough spot deciding whether or not to pay him and make that long-term salary commitment. If he has a bad year, then it could push him towards more of a career backup track, which might be best for him. When he signed his last contract with the Clippers, he was getting offers from other teams like the Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers that would have made him the starting point guard. And I just don't think that Austin would succeed as a starting point guard on an NBA team. I'm iffy on him as a starting shooting guard, but I definitely don't think he's capable of being a starting point guard on an NBA team. His success with the Clippers has been at the shooting guard position. And so if he gets, you know, if he doesn't show out this year, I think it will sort of lock him in as who he was last season, a big-time backup player playing, you know, 24, 26, 28 minutes in a game across multiple positions, capable of filling in as a starter, capable of showing up in big games, but not a starter, not a full-time starter. And I think that this is an opportunity for him to maybe make people view him as a starter. If he doesn't do that, it, you know, at 26 years old, with the amount of times that he's been hyped up and then been a letdown, you know, starting from being a lottery pick and all of that to where he is today, this might be his last chance to really make that next step. Now, it's not going to be a horrible thing if he doesn't have a great year. He's still going to, you know, have an NBA career. He's still been good the last couple of seasons. He's not a guy who is in a situation like maybe some of the Clippers second unit guys like Bryce Johnson or Montrezl Harrell, where having, you know, a bad or ineffective season could really be problematic for their long-term career existing at all. But for Austin Rivers, this season could really have an impact on his long-term career trajectory. Now, a guy who the other Clippers guard is in a totally different boat, Patrick Beverley, who has really emerged as like the fourth guy on this team. And he's a guy who should be, you know, penciled in starter for 82 games. Whereas between Milos and Austin and maybe Lou Williams sometimes, there's a little more of a competition. Patrick Beverley is, in my mind, the clear number one of those four guards. Although it's not as huge of a gap as it was when it was Chris Paul as clear number one ahead of J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers, I think that Patrick Beverley is still clearly number one above those other guys. And I think maybe even more than his like specific on-court contributions, like how many points he scores or how many assists he racks up, or even defensively, it's just going to be his leadership. Although I think his defensive intensity and his leadership sort of mend together in the way that he leads by example and sets the tone for the team. But so he's a guy who I'm really excited for. And I've always really liked Patrick Beverley. There have been various times in the last few years when the Houston Rockets have explored moving Patrick Beverley at the trade deadline, you know, to get a draft pick or maybe to move a little bit of salary for a bigger deal. And he's been a guy who I've always been like, the Clippers should jump on that. The Clippers should get him. He's a great player. And in my mind, it was always to be sort of like a third guard, like maybe like an Eric Bledsoe replacement, backing up Chris Paul, but also playing alongside Chris Paul in a lot of lineups. Not as a Chris Paul replacement, which of course is a little bit of a letdown. But I mean, I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. I'm super happy that he's a Clipper. I'm super excited to get to watch him every night. And I'm looking forward to great things out of Patrick Beverley. I think he's a guy who can pretty much be relied on for this team in a way that the other guards might be a little more inconsistent. I think that the Clippers will, when the Clippers struggle this year, it will be because they struggle to find a fifth player who they can rely on. You know, if Milos Milos has gaps in his game. So even though he's great, there might be certain matchups or certain situations where the defensive gaps in his game are problematic for the Clippers. And Austin Rivers, we know, can be wildly inconsistent. And Lou Williams is a little bit of a combination of both, where he's not much of a defensive player and he can be wildly inconsistent with his scoring. And then beyond that, the Clippers don't have a lot of options at shooting guard. I don't think you can play Wesley Johnson or Sam Decker there in the majority of lineups. Sindarius Thornwell would be the next guy, but I mean, he's a rookie. So I think at times when the Clippers struggle, and we've seen this in the playoffs in the last few years, although obviously it was a much different team, where if J.J. Redick is cold, and then you put in Jamal Crawford and he's not having one of his hot nights, and Austin Rivers is inconsistent and struggling to get going or has a pulled hamstring or whatever, it's like, well, who can we possibly play here? You know, the Clippers have tried throwing Raymond Felton out there at shooting guard. And at times last season against the Jazz, Raymond Felton was the best option they had at shooting guard. The Clippers don't have that extra veteran guard this year that they did in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how that could potentially play into their struggles. The Clippers' next preseason game is going to be coming up on the 8th. So they'll have a few days off. They'll come back to California. They'll be playing at Staples Center against the Portland Trailblazers. The 8th is on Sunday. It's a matinee game, 3:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Pacific Time. So definitely looking forward to that, getting the Clippers back into California, getting them a couple days of practice, and seeing how they can sort of regroup from, you know, it's not like Kawhi was bad. I think they had, you know, two perfectly fine preseason games against the Toronto Raptors. But see how they can keep growing and keep progressing as we head towards the regular season. And then I think even the first probably 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season are still going to be a growing period for this team as they get to know each other and get comfortable playing together. I think one thing that we may have taken for granted in the last few years as we complained about the team getting stale was the continuity, that these guys had all played so much with each other. I mean, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, DeAndre Jordan, these guys have been together forever. And so now you have guys who maybe have been together for a couple weeks. It'll take a little longer for this group to mesh. So that's what we're looking for in the next few, you know, the next few preseason games, but as well in the first few weeks of the regular season. Look for plays like where Blake Griffin last night rolled to the basket and turned and caught Sam Decker cutting backdoor on the baseline for a dunk. It looked like Blake Griffin threw that pass a little behind him. Like Blake Griffin was, he's used to having Luke and Bamute camp out in the corner or something and not have a guy like Sam Decker who cuts to the rim very aggressively. So we'll look for plays like that to start being a little more fluid and natural. And then you get plays that were great, like the one where Tate Osich found Beverly in the corner with a behind-the-back pass, and Beverly drove baseline and found DeAndre Jordan for the lob. Those are three guys who don't have a lot of experience playing together. I mean, Beverly and Tate Osich played together overseas several years ago, but it's been a while, and neither of them has played with DeAndre Jordan before. So it's good to see that kind of meshing. I think DeAndre Jordan is probably a really easy guy to learn how to play with because it's so easy and fun to throw those lobs up to him. But that's what I'm looking for, is to see how different guys really start meshing with one another. And I think that maybe Austin Rivers is another guy who needs to be brought along a little bit in that respect, because he didn't play in the Clippers' second game, and in their first game I thought he seemed a little out of sorts. So we'll see how that all develops going forward. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan. You can also email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.